few announcements before the homily. Just a reminder that right after Mass, the deacon service and I will go to the statue of St. Peregrine for our weekly novena to the saint for those who are fighting cancer and for the consolation of their caregivers. So if you're able to stay for those prayers, please remain in your pews. You can just face the statue with us and offer those prayers spiritually. After the novena, I'll be back in the confessional to hear confessions. If anyone needs to receive that sacrament, that will also be available. A few things to remind you that are a little out of the ordinary in the next few days. Tomorrow on Friday, we usually don't have Mass, public Mass, but this Friday we will. It's 9:11, so confessions will be at 10:30 tomorrow, and then Mass will be at 11 a.m. So I hope you can come. When that tragic day happened, we promised as Americans that we would never forget. I am shocked at how many houses of worship are doing nothing. We made a promise. We will not forget. Here at Our Lady of Grace, we don't forget. So we're going to have Mass. I hope you can come. If not in person, then certainly by live stream. That will be at 11 a.m. On Saturday, we are restarting our formation days. Remember those one-hit wonders? You just come for 3 hours. You learn something about your faith. So we're restarting those, but only by live stream. So Sunday, 9 to 12, you can tune in, or actually you can tune in anytime after Saturday morning for 3 hour instruction. This month, the topic is the mission, the identity of the holy angels. September is the month of the angels. So it's important that we understand who are these angelic persons sent to us by God in service to his majesty. So that will be on Saturday, 9 to 12, or anytime after, it will be on our Grace Lily page. Also, lastly, next week is the priest retreat. This is where all the priests get together with the bishop. Our bishop retires in December. This is going to be our last time with him, our farewell retreat. Well, the bishop has canceled that retreat due to COVID. So the priests aren't going to get together. We won't be able to have that time with our bishop before he leaves. So the bishop, however, has said that while we can't all be together, he has asked his priests to still observe a retreat. So we can go wherever we want. He even said, if you need to, it doesn't have to be a retreat. It can be vacation. Whoa, watch out. So normally I would say, no, I'm going to be here. But truth be told, my body is telling me something else. And my soul, it has been a stressful couple of months, hasn't it? So next week I will be away on retreat at an undisclosed location, you know. And because of that, we will not have confessions or Mass Monday through Thursday. We will have everything else. There's still the rosary at 11:30, the devotions at 12:30. We will still have our holy hour on Monday night. The deacon will be leading that. There won't be confessions, of course, but the holy hour will still be there. We also have still adoration on Tuesday and Wednesday. And the Bible study will still be on Wednesday night. That will either be in person, I'll pop in, record, and leave, or it'll be a pre-record. So all the schedule, as much as possible, will still be there so that your spiritual life continue to be nurtured, even though we can't have confessions or Mass. And of course, everything resumes after that week. So please note next week, no public Mass, no confessions. So, and pray for your priests. I hope all my brother priests listen to the bishop and take this time off. I know that I am tired. You will rarely hear me say that. But I know that because of that, I've been getting a little grouchy. I don't like to be grouchy, right? I should express to you the joy of the gospel, right? So it's time to go away on retreat. So pray for your priests. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Some time ago, I was on an airplane. To those of you who might not know, I'm not a particular fan of flying. I'll do it. But oftentimes, it involves Xanax and alcohol, okay? I was on the plane. We were beginning to taxi in order to get ready for takeoff. That's where the emotions start to really move. There was an older woman sitting in my vicinity who suddenly decided that she had used the bathroom. And of course, she's trying to get up, and the stewardess is telling her, you have to remain seated. And she's trying to get up and trying to get up, and she has to use the bathroom. And I'm thinking to myself, sit down, what are you doing? Right? You know, we're about to take off. And another passenger said to the flight attendant, don't we have time for this older woman to go to the bathroom? Can't we make this time? And it was like the clarity of charity in a moment of stress. And suddenly we were all reminded, this is a human being who needs to use the bathroom. Certainly we can make a couple extra minutes so she can use the bathroom. So arrangements were made, and the woman was able to get up, use the bathroom, and be properly seated for us to take off. I'm reminded of that because that is our vocation as Christians, to constantly look for the one who is being ignored or ostracized or dismissed or who is on the periphery or who is the most vulnerable or the most weak. We Christians have been sent as missionaries specifically to them. Listen to the scriptures today, that sermon on the plain that is recounted by Luke. Listen to how the Lord describes how we are to treat one another and how we are to treat even those who are unkind to us, how we are to treat even those who do not believe as we believe. And listen to St. Paul in that first reading. Do nothing that will scandalize the faith of your fellow believer, even to avoid meat. At the time, many Christians still ate sacrificial meat that was offered to idols. Some Christians had problems with that. You shouldn't eat that. That meat was offered to idols. The response was, there are no idols because there are no gods other than the true God. Paul favored that, probably because he liked meat. But he says, but if it causes scandal to one of my brothers or sisters, then I will give up meat forever in order not to hurt the faith of my fellow believers. You see the charity and the sensitivity we're called to have? How we are called to treat each other, in particular, dear friends, to those who are vulnerable and weak. And make no mistake about it, that begins in the womb. If we allow legalized abortion in our country, where a mother can take the life of her vulnerable child, and we try to justify that under false terms of freedom or rights and such language, if we allow that, then there are no standards anywhere else. Abortion is the first and fundamental right, the right to life. It violates, abortion violates that fundamental right. It begins with abortion. As Christians, we're not one issue voters. We are preeminent issue voters. It starts there. Nothing else justifies that. The idea, it's called proportionalism in moral theology, that we can have all these other goods. And if all these other goods are right, then it justifies this evil. Imagine if I were to say to you, yes, 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 the Nazis killed 13 million people, 6 million Jews, but hey, they organized the education system, they got the transportation system down pat, they really stabilized the economy. Imagine if I were to try to present the argument that because all these other issues were right, it was okay to kill 13 million people and 6 million Jews. You would consider me crazy, and you would be completely right. Because the first and fundamental right is the right to life. All of our other issues flow from that right, and we have to get that one right, or we get all the others wrong. Or they fall, they stand on sand, and they fall quickly. This is why, dear friends, the way we live our lives, how we serve other people, serve one another, how we spend our money, how we vote, is so important that it reflect and flow from our faith as Christians, from this sermon given by the Lord, by the call that we have to show that kindness, to petition on behalf of an older woman who needs to use the bathroom. Don't we have a few extra minutes that this woman can go to the bathroom? We are called to be that advocate, those instruments. We are called to be those missionaries to the vulnerable, the lost, the weak, to the unborn. Now more than ever, dear friends, we have to make our decision. Do we accept this sermon? Are we going to follow the Lord? Will we obey him? Will we follow the most excellent way of love? Will we defend the weak?